Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's Cortinel. He scores! Cortinel speeding in!
Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Rusty boy, how are you, man? There it is.
Good.
You know, sometimes I wish I drank again, Rusty. You and I would be terrific together.
Oh, my God. We'd have a show every night at 5:30.
Yeah, you know what? Hi again, everybody. It's the Suspendables. Suspendables with me, Jungle Jim Jerome, and Russ Cortinel. You know, I drank for many years, and I thought I fooled everyone, which I did, okay, except you. You were the guy who busted me when I was drinking.
You were drinking ginger ale.
Yeah, you were cool, though. We were doing a deal in L.A., and, you know, I was telling everyone I was sober, and you sat down beside me, put your arm around me, and went, "You're not sober."
I think we were in Arizona, actually.
I forget where it was.
Yeah, it was at Gretzky's Fantasy Camp in Arizona. The first one in Arizona, right, before we moved to Vegas.
Yeah.
And you were up at the bar, and I saw you calling the bartender over, and I just was eyeballing you, and you're like whispering him in his ear, and all of a sudden, like, yeah, this, you know, Bloody Mary or Caesar came out of nowhere, and
right,
we were like, "Yeah, it's just it's just tomato juice."
I'm yeah,
like, no, yeah, no, nice, I watched try. Him pour it.
You're not getting one by Slippery Cortinel there.
Yeah,
you know, I did at my golf club. I'm not a member anymore because I don't play enough golf. And at the beginning of the year, because I told all my buddies, you know, that I didn't drink, but I was, and so at the beginning of the year, I'd go to the manager, and I'd give her like 100 or 200 bucks. And I said, "Look, I'm not going around to talk to all the staff. You are. And here's what's going to happen." Okay. Cause I hit the lounge after every round, Rusty. You know, I was playing 50, 60 games a year. And I said, as soon as I walk in that lounge, okay, they get a coffee mug. Okay. They fill it halfway with 4 or 5 ounces of Zambuca. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then put enough coffee in there so it just looks like coffee, okay?
Jeez.
And then they drop that in front of me. And I'd sit there, and they go, "Hey, Jimmy, you know, how's the non-drinking thing going? Hey, you're drinking coffee." I go, "Yeah, fantastic."
Yeah, yeah.
Why give
me another one there.
Yeah, and of course, the secret was the Zambuca, which is a menthol smell, right?
Yeah.
So I always had to have a pack of those Fisherman's Friends because they're really potent smelling.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I'd pop one of those all the time. They go, "Oh, okay, that's what I'm smelling." Yeah. That's
yeah, it. Licorice.
Licorice Courage, as they call it.
Yeah, if you're going to drink Zambuca, you got to drink the black Zambuca. It's way better.
Way better. Yeah, I've done it all, Rusty. You think you're going to get one by on me?
I know.
Yeah, yeah,
no, yeah. I'm not.
Yeah.
The only thing I can get by you is wine because you.
Yeah, wine. You'll kill me on the wine for sure.
Well, we're on the golf course and drinking topic. Why don't I go right into my member guest at Sherwood Country Club last week?
Folks, if you don't know what the member guests, of course, are private guys who are members of private golf courses. They invite guests once a year to show off their golf course. It's a highlight of the year. I've been to many. I've had many guests. But the best one I've ever been to was the one at Sherwood. When I was talking to old, what's his name again? Oh, yeah, Gretz. He invited me one year.
That guy.
And we placed second. Hands down, Rusty, the Sherwood member guest. I think they added a day, Russ, because they sort of have it for 2 or 3 days when I was there. And they're like,
"Yeah,
well, let's play another day. Let's call the practice
show." Oh, yeah.
You've been a member there for many years, Rusty.
Yeah, 1993 I joined.
Yep.
And so my friend Poodle, from Red Deer, listens to our show. Great guy. He's been sober for 32 years.
Hey, Poodle.
So he's a national member, which we don't sell those anymore, but used to be able to buy like a membership that you could only play like 30 or 60 times a year and pay half dues. So he got in on one of those deals a few years ago, and he comes once in a while. So he calls me up and he says, you got anybody going to the member guests? I said, I was thinking about inviting my son, Lawton. He's really into golf. And so give me a week. This is a few months ago.
Right.
So I talked to Lawton and he goes, I'm going to be moving up to Denver to move in with my girlfriend, Zoe. So, okay. All right. I didn't say what it was.
Right.
Because I didn't want him changing his mind for a golf tournament. So
you don't want to miss this, Lawton.
So I phone up Poodle and I go, hey, Poods, Poodle, by the way, as he's bald and but in school he had a head full of curls. So it's pretty funny calling him Poodle. Anyways, I said, okay, we're good to go. What do you, you want to bring two guests. So yeah. I've never met these two gentlemen.
Right.
And we're only going to do first name basis.
Okay.
So Mike and Peter come down from Calgary. The tournament starts on Thursday. They roll in and they're ready to go. We tee off on the Wednesday at 1 o'clock. We're having a great time. And Mike is ordering 4 vodka sodas and a tequila for me.
Oh, no.
And I normally, I'm a White Claw guy during the day. So I'll have one tequila.
Yeah.
The guy comes out to the cart and he goes, okay, every 30 minutes, same order. And I take him aside. I go, no.
Calm down.
And then as he leaves, the guy slides him some money. He goes, every 30 minutes. So this is the start of our week.
This is the practice round passing, on Wednesday.
No. It's before the practice round. They came in a day early. The practice round is Thursday. This is a Wednesday.
Right.
So I got to go home for dinner. I'm passing off these tequilas to anybody I can find along the way. And the guy I'm riding with, Peter, is telling the delivery guy, look, just one at a time for me, not two.
Right.
And Mike is hammering them. So that was the start of our day. We had a good day. He's like, we finish our round. I'm fine. I had one tequila and a couple of White Claws. And
sure.
And mm-hmm. so they're like, let's go into the clubhouse for a drink. And I'm like, no, I've got, like, you guys are on vacation. I'm home with my family. I got to go home, cook, and I'm going to see you tomorrow. So they go off, get hammered, I assume, next day, practice round, and it is smoking hot. Uh-huh. And then and the guy I'm playing with, Peter, he says he's an 18, and he's horrible. Like, I put a 7 to a 10 beside his every hole for days, 2 rounds. So we play the practice round, then we play our first 9-hole match.
Yeah.
It's like his twin brother showed up.
Oh, no.
And we beat the first group 15-5. That was the points.
Wow. This guy explodes. Yeah.
Oh, he just plays unreal. I got no money now on us. It's too late to bet on us.
Dummy. Yeah.
So there's like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours between your last round and the horse race. The horse race is for the championship, and they put all the winners of each group in this horse race with a wild card, with a couple other things. So there's a bunch of groups. There's maybe 14 groups. I don't know how many, but there's, a lot of twosomes. So they're going to start on the first tee, but in the meantime, they got food, they got music, and they got a tree bar. And my partner, Poodle's guest, disappears for a while.
Uh-oh.
So he comes back and, I'm on my phone, I'm eating and I'm having a couple drinks and stuff and talking to members. And then let's go watch the horse race. And this is where it really gets fun. And, you're watching, but it's it takes forever. And it's been smoking hot. Well, by the time the horse race, it took a couple hours. By the time we got back to the 18th green, we're all up above the 18th green watching these guys come in. Poodle's partner, he can barely sit in the cart, let alone stand. He's so hammered. Yep. Oh, he's so fucking smashed. Like, I mean, his body, like when I was driving the cart, it was like if I hit a bump, he was going to fall out. And he was not a small guy.
Ooh.
So I go to Poodle and Mike, I said, hey, Peter's, he's had too much. He's, you know, we got to put him in a cart. He's trying to stand. And so put him in my golf cart. Poodle thinks it's a good idea to take the golf cart and put it on the path that's on an, it's an uphill path so that he won't fall out of the cart. This is how drunk
he is. Not bad. Good move.
Mm-hmm. So we're all watching the 18. Everything's going great. I'm watching these guys. And towards the end of it, I get a tug on my shirt and it's Armando you met. He runs the barn, the carts. And I look up, they're pushing my cart. We don't know what happened, but thank God everybody was watching the tournament. He gunned it, and my cart's fast. Gunned it right through the buffet station into the umbrellas. And my cart has an umbrella like a javelin sticking out from underneath it. And they can't – my cart's not working. It's brand fucking new. And it's scraped and cracked. You know, it's all – the front's not dented, but it's a mess. And I'm
fantastic.
Like, I'm losing it. I'm like, Poodle, what the hell? And nobody can figure it out. And yesterday, Poodle and I were reminiscing of why he probably hit the gas pedal.
I'll go with
tequila. Is because he had to go to the bathroom, and he probably reached over with. If anybody's been in a golf cart, he probably reached over, hit the gas pedal, but couldn't get over far enough to hit the brake. And just gunned it into the tables. And
unbelievable.
And
so, woo! That's my new...
So now Poodle's in full damage control, no pun intended. They're redoing my cart. He's picked it up. It's gone to the desert. He's got some guy. He knows a guy who's going to fix it all up. And I said, if it doesn't come back brand new or better, then you're buying me a new... He's buying me a new cart. Because I waited a long time to get this thing, and it's my baby.
Yeah, you got that this year. Yeah.
So... they pick it up. Everything's great. And just before I get on the show, the director of golf goes, I'll read his text. Russ, can you fill me in on what happened with your cart and the table Saturday? Heard bits and pieces. Finishing up the incident report.
Oh, no,
oh my Rusty. God.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to find out after the show what's going to come of this. But we've told the club when it happened, like anything, any damage or anything, you know, just put it on Poodle's tab because it's just guess.
Yeah.
But I got to explain now to the director of golf what I think happened. Well, probably just what I told you guys. But anyways, hopefully this thing goes away. But the poor guy, obviously he's super embarrassed and
takes the cake. And, that's a good one.
Oh, fuck. Can you imagine if they were eating or people were there?
Oh my God.
It could have been so bad.
Don't even think about it.
Yeah. It could have been so much worse.
My favorite member guest story too is right at Sherwood. Buddy of yours, Brad, and I think Claude Lemieux hooked up the Sea-Doo on the back of their cart going down the hill towards the green.
Yeah.
Jackknife and smashed the Sea-Doo with the trailer into the bridge.
They had the Sea-Doos on a trailer at the tee box, and it's up on a hill. It's number 6 at Sherwood.
Right.
And it's on display, just like cars are. But the story is that after they hit the green, they just hijacked the trailer and the Sea-Doos and thought they could connect it to their
Can you imagine?
Cart somehow. Oh, my God.
Like 2,000 pounds coming. Like they hooked up with a rope.
It ended up very... They ended up, I don't know what happened there, but anyways, we'll see what happens. I'll have news next week. I could be like you and Gretz. I used to be Wayne, you know, you used to be Wayne's friend, and I used to be a member at Sherwood Country
Club. Yeah. You know, I've been to many of them. One of the most hilarious one was the guy pulling the trumpet out of his golf bag, playing tunes, you know, and doing other things. But you know, my friend, Rusty, this is what I would be worried about is, you have mentioned it. So I have a friend who's a member of a beautiful golf course. In fact, they had the FedEx Cup. One big event. It was at Caves Valley is the name of the course. They had it this year when Cantley won. And he's a member, and I went down there all loosey-goosey and having fun, and he pulled me aside and said, you calm the fuck down right now because you're a guest here. And if you break any rules or cause any trouble, I lose my membership privileges.
Yeah.
Right. And it's the fucking Trump card, you know, as soon as a guest starts to go bananas. Anyway, love that.
Thank
story.
God
love
he was it. Poodle's guest and not mine.
Thank God. Thank God. So I hope you don't, maybe you'll get expelled or something.
Well, if anything, I hope nothing happens to Poodle, but we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
We got some shout outs, Rusty. I've organized a couple of shout outs. This one, love this guy. Love this guy. Brent Hamilton. I've now listened to about 100 of your episodes and love the show. So many great guests. I can't even pick a favorite, but you do need more Canucks on there. I don't know if he's talking about Canadians or Vancouver Canucks. I just listened to a Spit and Chicklets episode for the first time, and they sound like meathead wise guys.
Those are my friends, for crying out loud.
Yeah, we should never hack on guys in the same industry. Suspendables is most definitely the best hockey podcast. Keep it up, Jimmy and Russ. Can you do more than one episode a week? Well, that's a first for us, Rusty. Yeah. The other ones I have that I never read was, could you pare it down to two a year? Okay. That's from Brent. Thanks a lot, Brent. That's nice, man. I got another one here. Let's see. I got one more. This is a nice one. This one is from, from Phil Henning. Phil writes us, love the Suspendables. I'm not a hockey guy. I've never heard of you or Russ before. Finding your podcast. Isn't that funny? I've never heard of you or Russ before finding your podcast. Brought up in the UK, I played rugby, never got into hockey once I moved to Canada. However, I tune in every week to hear yours and Russ's stories. You bring me laughter and make me think of my great memories and stories from my rugby days. I wanted to reach out and let you know that you bring a lot of positivity to lots of people and you deserve at least one person, although I'm sure there are more, to bring you a bit of positivity after you've had a rough couple of days. You beat alcoholism, Jimmy. Recovering from that car accident should be a piece of cake. Thanks a lot, Phil.
Nice.
Yeah, that's nice, eh?
I'd say hockey players and rugby players get along the best out of all the athletes. My experience, just
the best golf charity golf tournament, Rusty, I went to in Ottawa. The best, there was a rugby team there at the event after, okay, at dinner. And you think fraternity guys can drink? Okay, do you think hockey players can drink? Rusty, they will, you've been to some good parties, okay?
Yeah,
they will smoke you at the amount these guys can drink. Smoke you,
and they're so freaking tough, those guys, like they're modern day gladiators. I got a lot of friends in Victoria that play for James Bay Rugby Club. Played for Oak Bay Wanderers, couple of UBC, but mostly James Bay Rugby Club. And these guys, like the Carson boys, if you're in Vancouver and you ever get a chance to watch these Carson kids play, they're the sons of Donald, Jimmy, and Leonard Carson that all played rugby. They are insanely huge, strong, and great players. And I think a couple of them are representing, I know a couple of them are representing Canada. Anyways, great athletes, tough as nails, and man, can most of those guys drink. The modern day athletes, a little different than older people like me and stuff, but these guys can pound, and what amazes me is they beat the shit out of each other all afternoon. And then the home team hosts the other team in their clubhouse for beers. Side by side, bleeding and, you know, bandaged up, and they're, good game. Good game.
Just been to war. This was a national team thing. And, so they were at this event. So one of the things they're doing, everyone's all whipped up, you know, all day.
Yeah,
it's after dinner.
Of course.
And they're in a circle, these rugby guys. And there's some deal that if, you know, someone throws money in the middle of this circle, if you go in to get it, okay, we can maul you and beat the shit out of you trying to get this $20 bill. Jeez. And the other one, they were all at the bar, like there was a big bar cemented into the floor. And they were getting a little out of hand, and eight of them ripped the bar out of the floor. Concrete, Russ.
Oh, my God.
Concrete, yeah. Anyway, I love the rugby players.
Yeah, so they're tough suckers.
Let's get to some show stuff, Rusty. The Stanley Cup is underway. Probably the most anticipated final in a long time, Colorado and Tampa. That's who everyone was calling. Russ, it's the first time I've seen this in a long time that everyone was correct on the two teams. Wow. Everyone wants this. The anticipation is going to be through the roof. Well, it is. As we record, this is Tuesday. The game starts tomorrow night. Your buddy Coop pulls off a great win, down 2-0.
Yeah, best coach in the world.
Best coach in the world, according to you, for sure. So off they go, Rusty, Wednesday night to, you know, break it down, Rusty, for us. Break it down.
Well, you heard Coach Cooper. Well, if you didn't hear Coach Cooper talk about the New York Rangers and their series and how the time off helped them in the long run but didn't help them in the first two games. Hockey players, I've said this before, they love just keep going. Every second, third day, the injured guys, it definitely helps having the time off. But teams like staying in the moment and keep on rolling. So if you're betting, I would say that Tampa's going to be, the first two games is going to be in Tampa's favor because they're coming off. They're only getting a couple days off, few days off where
right.
The Avs have had a long, long time off and they should struggle. You never know, but
right.
Chances are they're going to have a tough time in the first couple of games just getting their rhythm back, but they're going to miss Kadri and Tampa is missing Point. The goaltending goes to Tampa. So right. I would say the favorite team is Tampa Bay Lightning.
The goaltending goes to Tampa. Yeah. The according to Gretzky, the next Bobby Orr Makar is Colorado.
What a stud. Okay. I mean, we're in for a treat to watch these players play.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many good players. I mean, it's hard to, you know, usually in the old days, you'd see like one or two great players. I mean, there's so many great players playing on both teams. It's going to be
fun. I'll tell you what, we'll do a quick rundown. Stevie, jump on here. You gave me the list this morning when we did our podcast about the seven or eight finalists for the Hart Trophy or the Hart or maybe Conn Smythe they're looking at already. I don't know.
So you had, obviously, out of the gate, you have Vasilevsky in the mix. Kale Makar is right there. You've got Kucherov. You've got Andre Palat, who's like a point-a-game guy. He's got two huge game-winning goals. And I think it was down around six or seven. There's Steven Stamkos, who's had an elite series as well.
Yeah.
Imagine how good the depth of talent in this series is if Steven freaking Stamkos is right now number seven among Conn Smythe candidates right now.
Mm-hmm. Crazy. Yeah. Great point. That's what we're looking at.
Is Brady Point coming back for the series, Steve? Do you know?
Yeah, he's probable for game one. And we don't know about Nazem Kadri right now.
Yeah, he had thumb surgery.
Yeah, they think he might be back at some point in the cup final. And of course, it's the cup final at the end of the day. So he'll play without a freaking thumb.
If you guys just squeeze your hands and you got one thumb, right? One hand without your thumb. If it's not painful, you can stick handle and you won't be able to shoot as well, but you can shoot. I've had thumb injuries and you can play. It's just how much pain because if you get slashed in the hand, they're probably trying to figure out if you can play with a cast on. But if you just squeeze your fingers to your inside of your palm.
All right. I'm doing that.
You can play.
Rusty, so you got these two offensive powerhouses in Colorado and Tampa. What are the coaches doing, Rusty, going into this first game? They only play one game at a time. Are you tightening up defense, Russ, or are you saying, okay, let's just fucking play loose, boys, pour it on and see what happens?
I think both teams are going to do what got them there and play the way they play. And obviously, you've got people to watch, you know, pay attention to. But they've had great players. They played against Toronto. I mean, think about what they had to face there. So Tampa's and the Avs are going to play the game that best suits them, and they're going to be aware of all the, you know, watch out for shitty penalties. Let's not give them any extra power plays. Let's not do this. So there'll be reminders, but really both teams have got there for a reason, and they got there playing the best hockey for that suits their team. So I think the coaches are just, you know, reminding the coaches are as excited as the players to win a Stanley Cup,
sure,
to be in this position. So sometimes that nervous energy, you know, you overdo, some people can overdo it, overthink it. And hopefully neither team, I know Tampa's been there, so they're not going to have that problem. But the Avs, because this is new for a lot of the players and the coaches, this is going to be an interesting series.
Well, the other thing Stevie pointed out is, so you got Vasilevsky there, okay, who's, you know, just the best goalie in the last 2,000 years or something, okay, since Grant Fuhr. And you got another team in Colorado, Rusty, where they're going, okay, which guy should we put in tonight?
Yeah.
You know, it's like crazy, unbalanced goaltending situation.
Well, my son said in Denver, because he's living there right now, that the word on the street is everybody thinks the backup goalie's better than the starting goalie, so... I said to him, well, if he is, this is a great opportunity for him to shine. So, you know, Patrick Waugh did it in Montreal in 1986. He was a rookie, right, and won a cup. So
it's
been done before.
So I'm going to go to the Stanley Cup final. If I want to go to the game, I'm looking for tickets, okay? And I'll say to the guy, whoever the ticket people are, whether you're buying them off privately or off a ticket service, just give me the average price. That's all I want. I don't want to play too big. I don't want to go cheap. No problem. $1,000, Rusty. The average price of
a Stanley Cup. Is that what the average price is?
Average, 1,000.
Oh, yeah. God, because I just told my son, I go, text your uncle. Jeff has he gets tickets from the head office through Gary Bettman, and Gary's been good with me, too.
Not freebies, though. You got to pay. You got to buy them, right?
Yeah, and Lawton went to the Boston St. Louis series, and he went to Boston and St. Louis, and
right.
I got the bill like 3 months later. They called me.
And what was it?
I looked at it and I went, that's a down payment for a small car. But he loved it. So anyways, he might be going to a game, but he probably will be sitting at a bar watching it.
Sure. Are they all pricing themselves, Rusty, this game of hockey?
No. They're not, because they're selling out. But, you know, for people who are listening and maybe not, that complain about the pricing, I love watching the games on the TV. I love watching football. I like watching sports on TV. And we're so spoiled, the ones who don't get to go to the games, that you can watch it on TV. And they got great programming. And it's so entertaining that, if you don't want to pay or you can't afford it, the second option is pretty damn good. If we weren't able to watch it in real time, I would probably be a complainer. But the people who can afford it and don't go, like myself or somebody who can, I mean, our options are pretty damn good. So I think the teams need to make money to pay these salaries. Everybody needs, they need to, this revenue, and let them go for it. For, I mean, if they were doing this during the season, they'd have empty seats all over the place. But,
well, it's not surprising.
When you price it too high, Jim, you'll know when it's too high and the building's half empty. That's when you know they've gone too far.
And I think the league deserves a break, you know, since COVID, right? I mean, there's some lean years there, right?
He's lost so much money. Oh, the league. Yeah. I mean, we all know businesses that struggled through this pandemic, and lots of people, lots of businesses, and the leagues all got hurt by it. So, Yeah, they need to score some cash.
Okay, Rusty, this may be the best pool of unemployed coaches I've seen in a long time that are out of work, some by choice, some other guys fired. And So I want to get your opinion on these guys. Joel Quenneville's in the someone floating out of teams knocking on his door. Let's get the ugly, serious shit out of the way. Joel Quenneville was with Chicago. Brad Aldridge was an assistant coach who sexually abused Kyle Beach, who came forward. Everyone will remember that story. And a lot of the Bowman got let go. Joel Quenneville did. Because of some sort of alleged stuff when they found out about it, when this kid came forward, and they didn't sweep it totally under the rug, but they said, leave it.
It was handled incorrectly.
Mishandled incorrectly.
Yeah, mishandled.
So there's a bunch of stuff, and we remember that ugly day. So I guess the question is, they're knocking on Joel's door. He had to be reinstated, as you pointed out. Does Joel Quenneville deserve to get a job, Russ?
I really don't know how involved he was, but I mean...
Well, he said he thought the higher-ups were going to handle it.
Right. Sort of pushed it off his plate to... Yeah. But a coach is responsible for his players, so it's kind of... Yeah, I don't... That one's,
would you hire him, Russ?
I would hire him based on his... how great a coach he is. Yeah, I would.
Okay.
Whether the league reinstates him. So we'll know if the league finds him that he was really not innocent, but not totally guilty of whatever. I think he'll get if they reinstate him, he'll definitely get hired because he's that good a coach. But the league will be the judge and jury on that, right? We don't even have to, you're asking me a question that I can't really answer. It's going to, I don't know all the facts. So they have all the facts, and whatever they decide will be correct, because the league is not going to tarnish their reputation because of somebody else's. So if they clear him, it's not because he's a good coach. It's because they feel that he is worthy of coaching again. How does that sound?
Sure. He wasn't the direct victimizer. Brad Aldridge was. I think he's gone to prison. Does he get a job again?
Fuck no.
Okay.
He won't work again, no.
Okay.
Not in hockey. Not around. Well, I think he went on to go coach kids or something, wasn't he?
Oh, my God.
Juniors?
Yeah.
So before they knew what was happening. So now that they know what they know, I can't see him coaching again.
Yeah. Anyway, so Joel Quenneville, like I said a couple minutes ago, Rusty, this may be the best pool of unemployed coaches I've ever seen. Barry Trotz, Claude Julien, Cassidy just got fired. DeBoer is out there. Maurice, when he stepped aside from Winnipeg. Ale Vigneault, Rick Tocchet, Joel Quenneville, Tortorella is out there. I don't know if Babcock's ever going to come back into the fold.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about him.
Yeah, although I didn't like what he did to Marner there in Toronto. Where he
No, and I players. Think, yeah, I don't know if he'll get a chance again. And some of these guys, I think, are aging out. Like, they're getting long in the tooth, and I think they'll... I think a lot of teams will start going with
Tortorella. Younger. I've had enough of Tortorella.
Well, and yeah, there's some guys that just been around not too long. They've just been around a long time, and they're looking at this, new crop of young coaches that we haven't even mentioned that I don't know about, but there's a million of them out there that are coaching that want to be in the NHL. And so I think when you're over 60, Sutter and Bruce Boudreau have done a great job, and I both thought maybe they were a bit old to be coaching, and they both freaking proved me wrong, and they've done great, and everybody knows how I feel about Sutter. I just love
poster boy for the NHL, baby.
Yeah. He's awesome.
Totally awesome.
Bruce Boudreau has done a phenomenal job in Vancouver. And so maybe they're kind of like the grandparents. Maybe I'm totally wrong. Like, you know, grandparents sometimes who are shitty parents are unbelievable grandparents because right. they get a second chance with their grandkids.
Yep.
So maybe these older coaches mellow out and realize all the shit they did wrong when they were younger and full of piss and vinegar as coaches, that they're this is their last crack at, you know, getting it right. So maybe I'm totally wrong.
Stevie, our producer, massive Ottawa Senators fan. It's easy enough to fill positions where coaches have been fired. Temporary coaches are on other teams. And I think, you know, the Oilers, I think Jay Woodcroft will stay there now. He was hired interim, you know, but he did such a great job. If you're the Ottawa Senators, Rusty, they're shitty. They're in the tank. It's this constant rebuild. I say get rid of the coach and hire one of these gunners right here. What do you think?
It depends on their crop of you know, their talent and what they've got. Like, I think Stevie Y did the right thing. There's another guy we haven't mentioned, that coach. He got let go by Detroit. Coached for, 7 years in Detroit? When, you know, I think Stevie Y has got enough good players and enough new players coming in. He wants a new message with this team that's starting to bubble up, maybe. Mm-hmm. So Ottawa, it just depends where they are, you know, in the rebuild. Are they ready to improve and hire a new voice and lead these guys to the next step? I don't know, but I was saying before we started the show, we haven't had hockey for a few days, and now I know what it's like to be a Senators fan.
Or Leafs fan. Yeah.
Leafs. Or a old Oiler fan.
Yes, true.
Yeah, but isn't it weird? Like, I haven't watched this much hockey ever. And I'm not watching it because we're doing the show. The freaking hockey is the best I've ever seen. I mean, it is.
Really?
By so many different teams. You know, we've all watched great teams and great series, but there's so many. You turn on the TV and it's freaking one awesome game after another. I mean, every series, I think, except maybe the Avs, their first, they swept. Yeah. Who'd they sweep?
Nashville.
I mean, other than that series, it's been pretty damn good hockey.
You know, Stevie, Russ gives us a hard time. You know, the old Oilers fans, we know what it's like not to be able to watch hockey. And if you're a Sens fan, you know, you can't. I can't think of anything worse, actually, Russ, with that. No, there might be. Let me think. There might. I can imagine Steve watching a Stanley Cup final going, never been there, never won her, never hosted it.
No, I've been there.
That's a lot. Never hosted. Never hoisted the cup. Okay, fuck off.
Two games away from,
I know,
from winning it. Sucks.
Do you ever go back and watch those games, Russ, in the final?
I was thinking about it. I'm almost there yet. I'm almost there.
You haven't? You've never done it?
No. What is that, 33 years
ago? And you've never watched any of those games?
No. No.
How come?
I guess I could do it now. The other was Flames were selling kind of a VHS back in the day. They were selling this VHS package of all the games. I'm like, I'm not buying their tapes of the games. So I just haven't found a way yet. I'm sure I could, but
well.
It's not.
Stanley Cup champ, Russ.
I know what. Stanley. Obviously, we all know what happened, but I'm kind of curious on watching my memory of what happened with me. Like, I had a lot of scoring chances, a lot of breakaways, and on Mike Vernon, and I'd love to watch those. Like, okay, you know, I'm always giving my son advice. I'd like to see myself at 23, you know, going down, and my brother gave me some great advice and it helped. I scored on him once or twice. And anyways, didn't score enough, but
yeah,
that's the only reason I kind of look like to watch, just to watch the 23-year-old Russ Courtnell what he was doing out there.
Yeah, so. Totally. Okay, Rusty, before we go, this story will not go away. I'm tired of it already, and I don't really give a shit. It's been at the front and center for 2 weeks now on all, and is kicking the shit out of any other sports story, is this thing again about the LIV Golf Tour and the PGA. Since we talked about it last time, the commissioner of the PGA has suspended and anybody who goes over to play in that tour. I think he had to, because there's so much money. If he didn't do that with these dozen or so guys, or
the other players would follow,
they'd go right away, right? He'd lose everyone. Yeah. So, you know, I was kind of interested in
what? From participating in all the PGA events, anything PGA related?
That's right. The majors are separate. The majors are separate. The PGA doesn't have
Ryder Cup is separate too, isn't it?
No, Ryder Cup's the PGA. So I think you're banned from that, Russ.
The FedEx PGA Cup would be, is that
FedEx? PGA? You're banned for sure. Yeah, that's part
Masters.
Of the Masters. Masters, no. The U.S. Open, these guys are all playing this week, so no. The British, nope. And the PGA, I'm not sure if. I think it's PGA of America is different than the PGA Tour. So, what's your take on it, Russ? This week, is it any different than last week? I do have one thing to say, Russ, and you can tell me whether you agree or not, that one of the real sticky points about it, and a very sensitive issue that they are asking players about, saying you're participating in a Saudi-run league where the human rights violations have been well documented, and why are you guys doing this? And so I thought, that's a tough question to answer, and then I thought, wait a minute here. If you're going to call these PGA guys to task, saying they're, you know, playing on a tour backed by the Saudis, does FedEx do business with Saudi Arabia? Does Coca-Cola sell soft drinks over there? Does Ford sell cars? Does McDonald's operate over there? On and on and on, Russ.
Why are we punishing these individuals?
Correct.
And not the companies, and calling those people out. Yeah, correct. I know. It's double standard for sure.
What's your take on the whole? How do you think this is going to suss itself out, Russ? These two, now you've got this 1 week in the books.
I think it's either going to fizzle or it's absolutely going to change, and more players are going to follow. If they're successful and they can stay the course, no pun intended, but if they can keep adding players and better and well-known players, then the PGA is going to have they're going to have something on their hands.
Right. The way these guys operate, Russ, these Saudis operate, is we've got, you know, as soon as they hear, they go, we've got the biggest and the best. They go like this. Oh yeah. Watch this. You got the tallest building, right? You got the tallest building. Watch us go. Okay.
Yeah. And usually, like when in the past, when leagues tried to form NFL, NHL, these other leagues to go up against the World Hockey Association, they ran out of guys ran out of money. USFL ran out of money, you had too many weak owners that wanted to be NFL owners or whatever.
Right.
And so when you have that kind of dough and you can keep the league alive, I would say more players are going to go, you know what, that you're playing less golf and I'm making all this money and I'm playing the sport game that I love.
Right.
And initially, whenever there's change, people look at it and go, that'll never work, or that sucks, or whatever. And then next thing you know, everybody's, you know, freaking, how about Starbucks when they started? Like, where did everybody have fucking coffee every morning before Starbucks?
Right. Yeah. Good point. Good point.
They're everywhere. I mean, where did they all go?
Where did they come from? Did everyone drink tea? Starbucks. Yeah. Or second cup. Okay.
I mean, exactly. So McDonald's is McDonald's, and then there's Arby's, Timmy's, and there's Burger Timmy's, King, and there's Jimmy, whatever. But
Tim Hortons, man. Yeah.
There's always, you know, one great idea leads to another. R&D, rob and duplicate. And that's all they're doing.
There we go. Rusty, another week in the books, baby. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks for all the nice comments. And we're back each and every week. We never take a break, Russ. Never take a break. You've been listening to The Suspendables with me, Jim Jerome, and him, Russ Cortinel.
Thanks for listening to The Suspendables. If you're enjoying the show, we invite you to subscribe so you never miss a single episode, leave a positive review, and share the show with your followers. And check out our brand new website, thesuspendables.com.